Are you noticing a slight decline in your ability to hear? Do you find it difficult to participate in normal everyday conversations and find yourself asking people to repeat themselves over and over? If this sounds like you or someone you love, it may be time to start looking into hearing aids. Here with us to discuss is Dr. Kyle Langfitt, an audiologist at Reed Health. Welcome to Right Beside You, a Reed Health podcast. My name is Prakash Chandran. So Dr. Langfitt, really great to have you here today. I wanted to start by just speaking broadly about hearing loss. You know, it feels like it's something that is progressive, but can you tell us a little bit more about the different forms of hearing loss and when it typically starts to become a problem?
Definitely. I'm happy to talk on this topic. I appreciate the invitation. So hearing loss is something that actually is going to happen naturally, just as we age, wear and tear on our bodies. So the world is a very noisy place, and that noise over time can be something that damages our hearing very slowly, and it can happen kind of behind the scenes without you really noticing it day to day, but it can kind of pop up here and there. So I'd say that if we think about how we hear low tones, middle pitch tones, and then high tones and very high pitch tones. So usually where hearing loss occurs as a factor of age or noise-induced hearing loss is going to be those very high-pitched tones. And then it very slowly moves its way over the decades into more of the middle-pitched tones where people start to have more difficulty in quiet environments. So someone with like a high-pitch, very high-pitch hearing loss, that can actually start around the 30s or 40s. By the time someone reaches maybe their 60s or 70s, that might have moved over to a place where someone's having more difficulty in more complicated environments or even in like a quiet environment.
Yeah. So you're saying even as early as 30, maybe some of those high-pitched sounds may start to degrade a little bit. And then over time, it starts to get those different tones. Is that more or less correct?
That's correct. Yep.
So when does someone know it's time to look into hearing aids? Is there like a certain time or a certain, I guess, rubric or metric that tells someone, hey, you know what, it's time to get some assistance?
That's a really great question. And I don't know that there's a metric out there that's accessible to the general population. It's all pretty much subjective. How are you feeling? Are you having people repeat themselves? Are you noticing more difficulty than usual? So a lot of subjective. And again, it's happening very, very slowly. So it can be difficult to pick up on those things. Usually our family members or our friends, the people around us are going to be the ones that notice it. They're going to become more frustrated with having to repeat, or if they want to get your attention from across the room or with your back turned to them, then it can be difficult to carry on a conversation. So I probably would say take to heart what your group is mentioning to you. If they say that you have a hard time hearing, they're not just kind of making that up. There's probably some credence to what they're saying.
So that actually leads me to my next question around having that conversation with someone who might not be hearing well. And this is actually kind of poignant for where I am in my life. I'm about to have a conversation with my father because he constantly is asking us to repeat ourselves. I do feel like it's a point of pride, but what would be your recommendation on getting people that really need that hearing aid to actually accept that they need it and to get help?
The research has shown that people tend to wait about 7 to 10 years before when they notice that they have difficulties hearing until they take action to go get a hearing test and then do something about it, even considering something like a hearing aid. So definitely there's that time frame. And I think what kind of plays into that, certainly there could be an aspect of pride, but also there's a very large stigma when it comes to amplification or hearing aids. I use those terms interchangeably. But when people think of a hearing aid, they usually envision something that's very bulky, very large inside the ear that's constantly squealing. And people who have worn hearing aids before might have mentioned things like it's difficult to hear. It just amplifies the background noise. So there's lots of negative connotations around it, whether it be the way that it looks aesthetically or the performance that people have had. And so I think a really big part of my job is having to show people or explain that to family members and to people who are in a position where they could benefit from hearing aids. What I say is these aren't like your grandpa's hearing aids. So if you think about our cell phones, how much technology has advanced from something like a landline to those Nokia phones, and now we've got these little computers in our hands. So technology has really improved that sort of interface. And so the same thing has happened with these wearable technology pieces, our watches, hearing aids, et cetera. So hearing aids are far more capable of helping people without accentuating, like, I have a large hearing aid. Usually squealing is something that never happens. So there's definitely things that there's a conception about what it's going to be like and what it's going to look like that is not actually true.
Yeah, I am so glad that you mentioned that. Taking a step back, could you just talk to us at a high level about what the hearing aid actually does? You know, you talked about the amplification piece, but how would you describe it to a layperson?
So the purpose of a hearing aid is to essentially provide more volume for the frequencies or the pitches that someone has more difficulty hearing. So for instance, someone who has what's very commonly age-related, so it's a high pitch hearing loss. Those high pitches have to be just a little bit louder or sometimes much louder for them to even detect that there was a sound there. So high pitches are going to affect things like the clarity of speech rather than something like a low pitch hearing loss, which affects more the vowels. So how a hearing aid is programmed is essentially going to provide audibility. So just being able to hear those sounds. The limitation to that, though, is just introducing sounds at a louder volume doesn't necessarily make it more clear. So that's something that happens more on like a moderately severe, severe to profound type of hearing loss. But the more milder degrees of hearing loss, audibility, or simply just turning up the volume for the pitches that it's needed is the main goal of a hearing aid.
Okay, that's helpful. And I think for most of us, when we think about hearing aids, we think about ones that you could get over the counter, you know, you could just buy, versus ones that are custom and prescribed. Can you talk to us a little bit about the differences between the two?
Historically, if you think about things that have been direct to consumer, so things that you wouldn't need any sort of professional guidance, historically, before 2017, I'd say that you might find things that are more of sound amplifiers. So they're going to just generally turn up the volume for everything that is around you and not very selective at all. Like I mentioned, that high pitch versus low pitch and where the volume is needed. As we've progressed, over-the-counter devices, so technically there's no over-the-counter hearing aid. There's no such thing right now because the FDA has not submitted or sent out their final ruling. So I would call any device that you see out over-the-counter right now, I would classify that as a direct-to-consumer device. And those are going to provide audibility, so they're going to turn the volume up, but the degree to which it's appropriate is subject to speculation. In the case of a prescription type of hearing aid, I have a hearing test. I know exactly how much volume should be needed, and I have research, I have data, I kind of have a prescriptive target to program these devices to make sure that the person sitting in front of me can hear the best that they can. So something like an over-the-counter or direct-to-consumer is going to provide a volume bump. They're going to hear more, but how much more and if that's appropriate, or maybe it's over-amplifying and doing more harm than good. So I think that's kind of the distinction, is lots of unknowns versus I know exactly what's going on.
Yeah, I think the one thing that I'm hearing is that it is not a one-size-fits-all thing, right? You mentioned the different tones. Everyone is experiencing potential loss at these different degrees, and it's important to get assessed to get the right fit for you before just getting something that's generic. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I find that, and the research has found time and time again, that people who have difficulty hearing have a hard time of judging the severity. So if I have some difficulty, if I had a hearing test, would I see that I had a mild hearing loss and that's it? And so the idea here is that people tend to judge poorly on how loud sound is and how much difficulty that equates to, you know, do I have a mild or moderate hearing loss? Some people who have just a mild hearing loss actually perceive a lot more difficulty. And so they would claim that they have more severe hearing loss. But definitely there's lots of things that need to come to light. We just need to know what is your hearing, and then we can talk about those options. And for some people, I think over-the-counter devices or direct-to-consumer, as that progresses, I think it stands to help quite a bit of people who have had obstacles to this sort of hearing healthcare.
So I think a lot of people may have seen these big box retailers with hearing centers in them and think that that is where you go to get your hearing aid. So maybe talk to us a little bit about the Reed Hearing Center experience and how it differs from one of these big box stores.
When I think of big box stores, I think of things like Costco or Sam's Club. You have other things like perhaps Walmart, Target, etc. So the distinction I want to make is that big box stores like Costco and Sam's Club do have hearing aid centers where they do fit prescribed or prescription hearing aids. There will be things over the counter. So those are things where you just grab that off of Walmart shelf or CVS, Walgreens. You can buy them online. And what sets Reed Audiology apart from some of those, I think, is going to be depending on if you're comparing apples and apples or apples and oranges. So for over-the-counter devices, when they become available, I think Reed Audiology is going to provide you with a thorough evaluation so that you know exactly, is this an appropriate device, or are my difficulties better helped by seeing an ear, nose, and throat? Or is my hearing loss too severe where this device wouldn't even amplify enough and I should be fit with something different, which is oftentimes the case, I would think. We also provide research-based fitting. So we follow best practices, and that's an entirely different podcast, but there are definitely a checklist of things that an audiologist should be doing when they're fitting devices, and that's not always true. So I think that at Reed Audiology, we are providing the best standard of care. And then when you see an audiologist, you also get that counseling for not only how to use the device, but also for communication. So hearing aid is there essentially in the name. It's supposed to aid you in hearing, but it's not going to be a cure. You're not going to hear like you were when you were 20 kind of thing. So I think an audiologist is going to be able to provide you that counseling piece of what else do I need to do? What else does my family need to know about my hearing loss? And what's a realistic expectation? How can I maximize my outcomes with a device like this, whether it be prescription or something over the counter?
Now, you started to touch on this briefly, but could you expand a bit more on how closely you work with ENT doctors to evaluate and manage hearing loss and any other condition of the ear?
So at Reed Health, we have several satellite clinics. And so actually today I'm in a satellite clinic where I was working with an ENT doing hearing tests prior to seeing them. So we work every day very closely together. Usually I'll see someone for a hearing test or a complete evaluation before they see ENT. And that way, let's say you have that age-related hearing loss. That's something that I can uncover. They see ENT to see that there's no other medical, there's no surgery, there's no pill that can be done or be used. And then they come back to discuss some options. So very closely working together, I think that is probably one of the things I like the most about that model of care, is that it's a one-stop shop kind of thing. I really don't like going to several doctor's appointments, especially because I have to take time off of work and I've got to orchestrate all of that. So I think having things together is a really good benefit to patients.
Now, just before we close, one of the things that I wanted to address was a potential consequence of not getting a hearing aid. You know, you might approach someone that you love about their hearing and they might say something like, you know what, I don't need a hearing aid. I'm perfectly fine to live my life without it. I don't need it. However, one of the things that I've read is that your brain actually has to work harder when you can't hear properly, and that has an effect on you over time. Is that true? And is that something that you can speak to?
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of times we think hearing is with our ears, but we don't actually hear with our ears. Our ears are just a way of taking this sound around us and making sense of that at the level of the brain. So our brain is going to take all that information and do what it can with it. So the thing about hearing loss and how it relates to cognitive function and that sort of thing, I like to put it this way. When it comes to cognitive decline or dementia and hearing loss, there's research to show that those two things happen together very often. It doesn't mean that hearing loss causes dementia or cognitive decline, just that they are kind of happening together. More research is happening on if people wear hearing aids, does that slow the correlation? Is that happening less often? So we're looking into that. But when someone does not hear something, their brain is not processing something that it used to process before. So think about the clarity of speech. So if I'm not hearing the clarity, my brain is going to have to fill in the gaps. And the more it has to do that, the more it works, the more difficult and challenging that can be. Another component of that is If I'm not hearing someone, I'm not going to engage. I'm not going to join in the conversation or go out to dinner with them. And I think that coupled with the hearing loss and the isolation or not being engaged is what's keeping our brains not as active as they used to be. So that's just kind of my theory and the way that I present it to people when they kind of come to me with that question.
Well, I'm so glad we covered that because just as you said, it's not just the hearing loss. There are first and second order cascading effects that people need to be mindful of. So last question, given all of your experience as an audiologist and all of the patients that you've seen, what is one thing you know to be true that you wish more patients knew?
No matter what degree of hearing loss someone has, there are options. There's always a way to improve how someone is communicating. And so as someone who works with people who have difficulty time hearing, there's a slew of options, both devices and those communication strategies I kind of alluded to before. But our world is very used to communicating. It's very accommodating for people who have typical hearing. So using these devices to help compensate for any sort of hearing loss that someone has acquired, or using communication strategies to improve that communication with their loved ones and the people around them, I think it can be very empowering.
Well, Dr. Langfitt, I think that is a perfect place to end. Thank you so much for your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That was Dr. Kyle Langfitt, an audiologist at Reed Health. If you're noticing it's difficult to hear in certain situations, over-the-counter hearing aids may be a good option. Schedule an appointment with an audiologist to obtain a baseline evaluation to rule out something more serious or that could be restored with medication or surgery. We strongly recommend that family members with dementia or cognitive decline receive an audiological evaluation. Thank you for checking out this episode of Right Beside You. To learn more, you can head to readhealth.org or you can call 765-935-4477 to schedule an appointment or request a screening. If you found this podcast to be helpful, please share it on your social channels and be sure to check out the entire podcast library for topics of interest to you. Thanks again for listening. My name is Prakash Chandran, and we'll talk next time.